Be here with you today. I'm just a humble, normal guy, and I want to come down here with you guys. Is that okay? I'll look right at this camera. Does this camera capture me? Okay. I don't want to be mean to the people on the live stream, but I'm from this area, grew up in Ashland, Ohio, and lived my whole life here until God sent us onward to the Philippines back in 2013. We took our first trip there. And the rest has really been history. God let us serve for 10 years there on the field. And we've just seen God do so, so many things. But what God started in my life was within a local church in Ashland County. I grew up at Maranatha Baptist Church in Hayesville, Ohio. How many of you know where Hayesville's at? Anybody? Okay, thank you. When I do talk about that at other churches, they're like, there's actually a place on earth called Hayesville, and you can just imagine what that place is like. And it's a metropolis of 400 people in their last census. And so a tiny place, but God was working. In that little country church, I know of at least three of us who through that youth group surrendered to either full-time ministry or full-time missions, and God was working in that place. We heard from missionaries coming through and speaking, and it was at 8 years old that God got a hold of my heart about becoming really whatever God would have me to be. That was when I said, hey, God, I'm willing to go wherever you send me to do whatever you'd have me to do. Maybe there was a point in your life where you surrendered your life to God. I'm not talking about being saved, and there's a difference. If you've been saved today, you're trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ for your salvation, that if you die today, that you'll wake up in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's being saved. There's a difference in being surrendered. Surrendered is when you say, God, you can have it all. You can have my talents, my treasure, my time. God, my life is a blank slate. Use me. And at 8 years old, I had a crazy confidence in who God was to say, yes, God, that's me. I'll go. I'll do whatever you call me to do. And somehow I never could run away from that. I tried. Believe me, I tried. And as high school came and aspirations came and everybody telling me what I was supposed to be, what I was supposed to do, it got confusing. And I was kind of trying to navigate the will of God until God gave me a stern kick in the pants, you might say, to get me in the direction of his will and getting back into that calling he had given me. And so I ran toward ministry training, where I ran into my wife, who was actually from Mansfield. Believe it or not, God let us get acquainted and get to know each other in a Bible college 7 hours from here. I had grown up in Ashland. She had grown up right here in Mansfield. Her dad pastored the Caesarea Baptist Church right over here nearby in Little Washington for about 15 years. And so God has an amazing way. He works in mysterious ways and let me and my wife cross paths. And of course, we were married. We did move back here. We started working on staff in a church over in Ashland. We were there for almost 5 years, and that's when God really started to ignite something in us about missions. We just couldn't get over the need. We couldn't get over the opportunities that were on the field. We knew God had called us for church planting and orphan care. Those two things were what God had put on our heart to do. And as you saw in the video, God really did bring to pass those things he had put on our heart. I want the guys in the back to show, that's my family there, that's the whole crew. We're actually standing in the kind of the foyer, which is more like a garage area of our church in Metro Manila, Philippines. Now that is a city of 25 million people. And that picture says a lot because we're standing in a building there that God provided miraculously for our church. Most churches in the Philippines, which is a country where people might make $10 to $20 a day, most churches never get out of rented or borrowed spaces, maybe in a home, they meet there. Our church, after just a few years of existence, God gifted us a building and did it in a miraculous way. One donor showed up at our church on a random Sunday, never came again, and God used that one man at 82 years old to fund 3/4 of our need for this building. And so I'm telling you, God works miracles. So we were standing in a miracle in that picture that was 1 year ago, last July, standing in a church building God had provided that was on their 8th anniversary as a church of City Baptist Church there in Metro Manila, Philippines, with the Filipino pastor and his wife who now pastor that church. And so that's every missionary's dream and goal, right? That someone would carry on what they started, and praise God, God gave us the gift back in 2020 in a time that you saw in the Philippines was crazy. We had the world's longest lockdown in that country for 3 years. We closed down from March 2020 all the way till March of 23. There were churches of maybe 500, 1,000 there in Manila, large churches. They never reopened for 3 years. God allowed us to stay open the majority of COVID in that time. And in that time, God brought us a young man into the church, Pastor Michael Palero, who became really one of my closest associates that worked along with me. God allowed a beautiful wife to come into his life, and he married Hannah. And they have now celebrated, I believe they're at 3 years of marriage, and they've been serving the church there now for about 2 years, almost coming up on 2 years as their full-time pastor. So God just does some amazing things. And so we're so blessed at what he's doing, continues to do. Click the slide to the next one. There's a picture there of the orphanage, I believe. This is the orphanage God allowed us to start back in 2015, I believe we broke ground on the orphanage. You guys can click forward to the next slide. This is the two buildings of the orphanage that God did allow us to start. Technology might work or it might not work. There we go. There it is. So this is on a piece of what we would call farmland. It's rice field there in the Philippines. And God provided for two homes to be built. And those are each a boy's and a girl's home. They both have caretakers, house parents, where about 15 to 20 children can be housed in each building. And I'm telling you again, when we say yes to God to go into the unknown, I'm telling you, he will come through for you. I don't know what he's calling you to do today. Maybe it's he's calling you to be a foster parent, to minister right here in Mansfield. Maybe he's calling you to adopt. Maybe he is putting on your heart an inner city, a downtown ministry in this town. I'm telling you, there are plenty of people to reach right here in Mansfield, Ohio. Maybe he's calling you to something like that. I guarantee you, as you move forward by faith, God will come through. He'll come through. Everyone in the Philippines, all the local pastors and people around, they said, that's great, you have a vision for an orphanage, but how are you going to pay for that? Well, as we partnered together with another missionary couple and prayed over this vision, we saw God, again, do only what he can do. House number one was the yellow house. You can't really tell the difference, but the house on the right is the first house. House number one was paid for, get this, by a church spaghetti dinner. Yeah. $80,000 was raised to build that building. Isn't that amazing? A building where, for the last 10 years, orphans and children who are vulnerable have been cared for and loved in the name of Jesus. They've been put through Christian education. They've been brought to church every Sunday. They've gotten saved. Many of them are now, they've grown up enough that some of them are even in college today and are moving forward into their adulthood. We've had already almost 10 children. I think we've had about 10 different domestic adoptions. So those are to Filipino families. And there's been 5 international adoptions already out of this home. God paid for house number one with a spaghetti dinner. The second house was the majority financed by the most unlikely individual you'd ever meet to give to a project. And in fact, without going into too much details, he was one of the most cantankerous church members I ever knew. But you know, I remember a time where he messaged me and said, God has laid on my heart to give because I too was an orphan, and this means so much to me. God can use anybody. God can use anybody. He can use you. Continue forward. Next slide. So there's a little bit of a picture of the church building there in the Philippines. That's my family again. You can click forward. That's the inside of the main church plant. That's City Baptist Church of La Agro. God did allow us to start a second church in the general vicinity, about 30 minutes away. We called that our pandemic church plant. And so that happened in 2020 as we were doing relief. And we were at times serving over 10,000 people in 1 week. I'm not even kidding. Thousands per day were lining up to get relief goods. And at no other time in our ministry did we see more donations come in, more people bringing provision, canned goods, rice, sardines, amen, right? Things like that that they survived on during that time when they couldn't go to work. They were locked down within their subdivisions, their villages. They could not even enter the streets to go where they needed to go. But God built a church. Continue forward. As we continued in ministry, and like the video pointed out, in 2020, God laid on our heart really a burden for the pastor himself, the missionary himself, and really what that was birthed out of. And you that have followed our ministry and tracked with us and prayed for us, maybe you've seen this in our letters, you've seen that burden growing. What started out as something part-time that I was doing for pastors and other missionaries, coming alongside them to encourage, equip, pray for, support, do whatever I could to keep them in the trenches. I wanted them to stay in the fight. And so we were doing whatever we could to keep missionaries in the workforce in the Philippines in 2020. We saw so many leaving the field. And many times, statistics say that missionaries, when they leave the field, 70% of their reasons could have been resolved. They're just things that were overlooked. Maybe they had a financial crisis. Maybe it was a medical crisis. Maybe there's an issue with their sending church. 70% of reasons why missionaries come off the field could have been prevented. We wanted to stand in the gap to face that. And so what we endeavored to do during the pandemic, just to be an encouragement, blossomed into something that wasn't just virtual on Zoom. Everybody got familiar with Zoom. How many of you knew about Zoom before the pandemic? Raise your hand. Did anyone know about Zoom before? A few of you nerds. Just kidding. Okay. No, I had no idea about Zoom. I'm like, where did this even come from? But we got so familiar with it. We had, at times, when it came to ministering to pastors and Christian workers around the Philippines and Southeast Asia, we had at times Zoom calls with over 250 pastors and Christian workers. When no one could go out, no one could go to an event like that, we were meeting virtual. But God, as He opened the doors for in-person, just continued to swing that door so wide. And click forward, we went from little events like this in the Philippines, among local pastors, among missionaries. This picture represents a Filipino couple there on the left going to Taiwan as missionaries. They're already there. A mission director, the white guy in the blue, he's a mission org director. And then the guy in the back was a Filipino called to go to Japan. And so the people headed to some of the craziest places that God has allowed us to come alongside to minister to. At our events, we really bring a healing clinic. You know, pastors are hurting. Pastors are hurting. I don't think I need to say that. I think you realize that. As the world gets darker and perilous times come into this world, pastors are more under attack than they ever have been. And if we know that American pastors are struggling to stay in pulpits and to stay faithful to their calling, how much the more for pastors in India and Pakistan and Uganda and Sierra Leone and the Philippines, where these pastors have very little support. Almost 100% really that we've met are bivocational. They all work a job. They all do whatever they can to survive, to be able to do their ministry well under persecution. They may fear that at any given Sunday, their church building could be attacked by a vicious Muslim mob, where their cars or their vehicles outside could be vandalized, burned. Someone could set fire to their church building, could go after their church members in their homes. This is the kind of reality that the real majority of the world is facing, and pastors are actually standing in those trenches, standing in that gap, serving people. And so if we think we have hard times in America, or that pastors are struggling here in America, please look to the field, open up something like the Voice of the Martyrs, and read about what churches, what pastors, what leaders are facing overseas. And so as we go around and we go to various countries, we've been to multiple countries already this year, we hear pastors share their heart and talk about the pain that they go through. Maybe on the backside of some wilderness area maybe a tribal pastor, someone serving in a real jungle, remote region, a pastor like that will come to one of our events and say, hey, this is the very first time we've ever heard anyone say thank you for being in ministry. They've just been faithful 20, 30, 40 years. This is the first time they'll say, I ever had anyone come alongside me to pray with me and encourage me forward. This is the first time I've ever been in a gathering like this where I meet other fellow pastors and Christian soldiers from around this country that can encourage me forward. And so really, in a sense, we're mobilizing God's army, and we're encouraging them, loving on them, equipping them in whatever area is necessary to send them back out. Some pastors come to our events and they say, when I came, I was ready to quit. I was ready to resign from my church, but I'm encouraged to continue now, and God is growing our church. They go back to their homes, they go back to their villages, and they preach the word of God, and God multiplies the effort. Some pastors have come to events with their wives and their children and say, the ministry is just too hard. It's taking a toll on our marriage. It's taking a toll on our mental health. We've had pastors that we've dealt with have had full mental breakdowns in the ministry. So one was hospitalized for an entire month. One was suicidal. One's wife had already left him. This is the kind of stuff that we deal with. So I wonder, as you pray, would you lift up these pastors? Would you lift up God's army all around the world? You know, our U.S. military is very well taken care of. We meet a lot of them as we travel all around the world. You know, as they go places, we send all kinds of food. We send our best equipment wherever they are. In fact, we send so much equipment, a lot of times when we leave a lot behind. That's our donation to those that we have either occupied or even our enemies. We even leave our equipment to our enemies. That's another story. But think about our missionaries. Think about these local pastors. Often when it comes to their supply lines, they may not even know you're reading their prayer letter. They may not even know you're praying, although many of you have said you were. They may have never had one visit from a supporting church. I've met many missionaries. They say, my sending church has never visited me on the field. So what I'm calling you to do as a church, when it comes to that Adopt a Missionary program, get all over that thing. Encourage these missionaries forward. Statistics say that the average missionary that we send to the field across denominations, it takes about $1 million to send a missionary. You say, how in the world? Well, some of them take 3 to 4 years raising support. That's living a life, traveling all over the place, collecting love offerings, surviving, whatever they're doing. They get to the field, many of them, and need to purchase cars, maybe even build a house if they're in somewhere like Papua New Guinea. Many of them then will raise funds for a church building, much like we did. $1 million to send a missionary, but statistics say that over 60% of our missionaries actually leave the field by 3 years. That's within one term. They never even finish one term. And so we have a better job to do, church. We have a better job to do coming alongside these missionaries. So when you say, what is Refresh Ministry doing? We're standing in the gap to prevent this from happening. We're going wherever we need to go. We're on the phone with whoever we need to talk to. We are on the mission to keep missionaries where God has called them to go. And so would you please pray for us? Continue forward. This is a gathering in India that we did a few years ago. We've been back to India now 3 times, and I'll be back there again in January. We have loved working with pastors in India. They are some of the most hospitable, wonderful, gracious people you'd ever meet. But they are against a lot. Many of them have planted, like the pastors you're seeing right there in that picture. Most of those guys have planted 2, 3, 4, 5 churches. These are faithful men of God serving with their wives in ministry. But they have opposition, constant opposition, like I said, whether that is physical persecution or even, as they call it, mental persecution, dealing with just living in a Hindu culture. As a Christian in Hindu culture, you basically are stripped away of all of your rights. If you were a Christian living in a Hindu culture, you would then lose your Social Security benefits. You lose all civil benefits. If your ID says Christian, you lose everything a citizen has of that country, other than your passport, basically. And so if they declare openly, I am a Christian, in most places in India, their rights are severely suppressed. The same as in Pakistan. We work with pastors in Pakistan as well. We can be so grateful to be Christians in America, and to whom much is given, much is required. Continue forward. Let's click through a few more of these. This is my wife and I. That's Mindy. That is just our recent trip to Uganda last April. We ministered to about 30 pastors and wives there at that retreat. What's been super encouraging about Uganda is these pastors have mobilized. They've been so encouraged by this event. They said it was like a personal revival that happened in their lives. So many of them are giving us amazing feedback. If you follow us on Facebook, I'm about to post a testimony video from those events. You can follow us on Refresh Ministry Network International on Facebook. We've been so blessed, though, by even the follow-up events that have been happening in Uganda. We've just last September had 5 little micro events where pastors from different regions have gathered to encourage each other in the Lord. Our ministry has paid for the meal, paid for transport to get these pastors together. We facilitated the event, and our national director there and some other facilitators are making these events happen. In the month of September in total, we actually did 7 events. We did 5 in Uganda, we did 1 in Sierra Leone, we did 1 in the Philippines. And so God is really moving this far beyond even what I can go do on my own, and allowing us to partner with local partners there that have been just so faithful to continue the work. Click forward. I think this is the last of it. Yeah. All right. So that gives you just a little idea about what we're doing and how you can pray. Pray specifically just for journey mercies as we travel. I leave in 2 weeks for Argentina with my son, and we get to visit a missionary there that we have known for about 10 years. They were from the Philippines where we were, and God actually called them to the country of Argentina. And so they've been there now for 8 years. So this is my first time to go visit with them and serve with them. I'm going to be preaching to youth. I'm going to be leading a pastor's event while we're there, speaking in his church. So it'll be really nostalgic in a way, because this is one of our old friends from our field in the Philippines, now serving as a missionary himself with his family. So pray for us. We're headed to Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in Tierra del Fuego, Argentina. It's the southernmost city in the world. And so if you look at a map and you go to Google Map and you type in Ushuaia, or if you just want to type in Argentina, then scroll all the way down till you can see Antarctica and you'll see the tip of Argentina there. It's pretty incredible. And so when God said go to the uttermost parts of the world, that's where we're headed. And so just pray for us as we go. It's about a 24-hour journey, and we leave on November 11th. So please pray for us as we go, we travel, we serve these pastors, but then also consider even giving as a church. Every event that we do, so you saw these events we do, and right now we're doing close to 20 events over this past year. We've served over 1,000 leaders in 2025. 1,000 leaders. That costs money. So consider supporting these events. All events don't cost the same. A little small event in Uganda, like the one coming up this next week, it costs about $1,000. There's 80 pastors coming. So imagine the impact that can have. Think about 1,000 pastors. If 1,000 pastors pastor 50 people each, which is a low estimate because we have some that pastor 500 to 1,000 in their churches. But if each pastor only pastors 50 people, you do the math, 1,000 times 50, that's 50,000 believers just in 2025 alone impacted through a pastor who is encouraged to continue where God has called him to be. He's not laying down his sword. He's not giving up in the fight. He's continuing forward. And so pray for our ministry. Our events like in places like India could cost from $6,000 to $8,000 by the time we pay for pastors to travel to the venue, rent the venue, pay for the food, sponsor a whole family times 50 to come. You know, very, very low cost in perspective. If you did an event for 50 pastors here in America and you paid for 3 or 4 days' stay, can you imagine what that would cost? But we can do that for $6,000 to $8,000 in a place like India. So if you would consider, as a church or even as some of you individually, if you have the ability to do that, partnering with us for events, we'd be so grateful. Argentina, amen, praise God, is paid in full. And so we're very grateful for that. That's fully paid for. But as we head into the new year with India, that is not yet paid for. So we do all this stuff by faith. And every month we balance the budget, it's paid. It's always paid. God always provides the needs for this ministry as we do events. And so continue to pray for us. I want you to turn today to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Pastor Matt, when do you usually wrap up here? Right now. All right. I'm going to give you a very brief challenge, okay? Acts chapter 10. I hope it's been helpful to hear how Mission Point has invested all around the world through our ministry, through other ministries. This is fruit to your account, so thank you, church. I don't need to say it, but I want to say it. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I believe, as your name says, as long as you guys stay on mission, this church will continue. This church will continue forward for God, for this city, for the city God has called you guys to. I want you to look at Acts chapter 10, and I want to review for just a second. Acts 9 is the calling of the Apostle Paul. In 9, he's known as Saul, right? He has a vision. He has a vision where God, Jesus himself, actually reveals himself to him on the road to Damascus. And of course, we know the story. His life is dramatically turned upside down. He receives Christ. He's called into the ministry, and he goes forward faithfully on what God has called him to do. Saul knew, it seems, from the get-go that he was called to go to the Gentiles. Most of his missionary journeys were all to the Gentiles, right? So Gentiles were non-Jews. And as we think about even American Christianity, we can get pretty comfortable on this. And so in our little corner, our little box of the world, we, if we want to compare ourselves to any group of people in the Bible, I believe that we could compare the American church to the Jewish people, in a sense. Because a lot of times we get very comfortable in our religion. We get very comfortable in our religion. And we say, well, you know, if God sends a lightning bolt down from heaven or opens these curtains and blows wind in here today, I'll do what he wants me to do, right? Or if God shows up in my dream, if God gives me a vision, I'll follow him. I'll do what he calls me to do. I want to just give you this brief statement today and leave you with this. You don't need a vision. You do not need a vision. The Apostle Paul had a vision. Thank God for that. But he didn't have the full word of God. And in Acts chapter 10, Peter has a vision as well. And so does a man named Cornelius. And this is a story you might know pretty well about this man who had a vision himself and knew that there was someone named Peter he needed to go get at a house of one called Simon the Tanner. So he sent a few men to go fetch Peter, to bring Peter to him, because there was a message Peter was supposed to be preaching to this Gentile man, but he wasn't doing it. He wasn't doing it. So Peter, a Jew, comfortable in his religion, wasn't doing the job he was to do to reach those people out there. I'm telling you, you don't need a vision to do what God has called you to do. Peter had a vision. In this instance, he's in the house of Simon the Tanner, which is interesting. This was an unclean place in the city where he was at. Simon would have been considered an unclean guy as someone who dealt with animal hide, animal skin. So for the Jews, many things were unclean. And so in this moment, Peter is in an unclean city, living in an unclean house with an unclean guy in Jewish terms. So God was trying to get a hold of his attention. God comes to him in a dream, and he reveals this idea of these different animals, and then Peter is permitted to eat, if you know that vision. And about the time that vision ends, he's got knocking on the door, and it's these men coming to get him to bring him to Cornelius. And here in Acts chapter 10, it's beautiful, when finally Peter meets Cornelius, he declares the good news. In my Bible here, it says, Gentiles hear the good news, right above verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, did you catch that? Every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Verse 39, he says, and we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. So he continues to preach the gospel. In verse 43, he says, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If that's the gospel you've received, say amen. Can I hear an amen? Everyone that believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Look at this. Verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed. These are the Jews. The Jews nearby were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. So here a bunch of Gentiles get saved through Peter sharing with a Gentile named Cornelius. It took a vision to motivate Peter to go do his job. It took a vision for Cornelius to even know about Peter because no one had ever come to tell him. So what's the problem? Isaiah 65 verse 12 has been ringing in my mind this week. It says in simple words, God says, I called and you didn't answer. I spoke, but you didn't hear me. He's talking to the nation of Israel, but today he's talking to you as a church as well. He's talking to me about how many times in my life, in your life, you've known there was that person, there was that Cornelius right in front of you. It probably didn't look like you, not the same background as you, but someone you saw day in and day out. They needed the gospel, but you either failed or succeeded to share with them. You don't need a vision. You have a calling. You have a calling. Every single one of us are called to share the word of God. There is no missionary, pastor, or certain level of those that are called that only are supposed to do this job. I know you've heard that. But guess what? Church doesn't work without you. You're the body of Christ. You're the ones. You are the message bearer. You're the image bearers of God. You are into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. It's you. You're the ones he said to go. Matthew 28, go ye. You go. Not just Pastor Matt go. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you don't need a vision. You have a calling. You don't need a vision. You have a command. You have a command. And the great question of today is, are you following that command? Or are you running from what God has truly called you to do? I'm not saying everyone here should go to Uganda or the Philippines. That's what God's given me to do. I have to be obedient to that call. There are a million things I could be doing otherwise. I'm very comfortable fixing chainsaws like I grew up doing with my father back in Ashland, Ohio. I'm very comfortable on the back of a hay wagon, picking up hay bales out of the field and throwing up in with my grandfather, how I grew up. I'm very comfortable just living here, doing ordinary things. I'm very comfortable with that. But God called me to do something. I have to obey. You may be very comfortable in your career, but God may be shaking you up this morning. You might be very comfortable sitting in this pew this morning, but God is giving you an assignment to do, and you know you've got to step out. be very comfortable, but there might be a ministry God's laying on your heart to do right here in Richland County that's uncomfortable for you, but you know you need to answer the call. You don't need a vision. You've been called. You've been commanded. You've been commissioned by Jesus, who said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your souls. So when you yoke up with Jesus, when you follow Jesus, you enter a period, a part of your life that is the most restful, faithful time where you see God come through. The moment you step into yoke with Jesus, what seems so heavy before, when you embrace the calling he's given you, it somehow becomes light. It becomes a joyful sacrifice. He said, that's going to demand great sacrifice if I do that thing. Yeah, it might, but it'll be the most joyful thing you've ever done. You won't find me more excited than when I'm on an airplane about to go where God has sent me to go. You'll never find me more excited, even on those 20-hour flights, because I know I'm doing what God called me to do. So today, you don't need a command. You've been called. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for a Sunday to focus on missions. And Lord, thank you we can rejoice in all that Mission Point has been a part of. Lord, these many years of supporting our family, all the way through our time as resident missionaries in the Philippines, to then expanding our focus globally, all around the world. Lord, what an amazing journey it's been. And Lord, I would say that any fruit there has been is fruit to the account of Mission Point. Lord, these faithful Christians here that have prayed and given above and beyond, many of them that have sacrificed so missionaries could go. Lord, I know there's many, many missionaries this church supports. Lord, help it to not be something that is so far distant from their everyday life. Lord, may they adopt a missionary this month. May they communicate well. May they love on those missionaries well. May they ask how they're doing, how they can pray for them, what things they need. And most missionaries will reply, just like Pastor Matt said, we just need prayer. Can you please pray with us? Can you please communicate with us? Lord, the harvest is great, you said, but the laborers are few. So today we pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, that you would send laborers into your harvest. Lord, we know you're faithful to do that. You're faithful to send, but we are not always faithful to go. So today, we don't need a vision. We don't need you to call down from heaven. Lord, we want to be obedient to the word that we know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, I pray that all the world would start for somebody right here today in their own family, in their own neighborhood, right here in Mansfield, Ohio, whether they're from Belleville, Perrysville, or wherever they're from. Lord, that they would take seriously the calling of going every day as a Christian into the workforce, into the marketplace, into the job site, and sharing your word, loving people, sharing the gospel, inviting them to know you as their Savior. That's what it's all about. Lord, we are supposed to be on mission with you. Lord, may Mission Point never lose the mission. And we never lose the mission. When we cease to do the mission, Lord, we cease to be the church. And Lord, I pray that you this morning would stir up some people to stand in the gap for this church, for this community. Stir up some people. And those people you stir up, God, would they make a huge difference for you? Lord, I pray blessings over anyone who's about to step out to answer your call. Lord, I know the difference of one. What a value of one who will stand up and say, I'll go, I'll start that, I'll pay for that, I'll do that, I'll give my time, sign me up. Lord, let there be someone like that here today. Lord, use your word today. We don't need a vision. We have you. We have your word, and we have a calling to go. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. If God's speaking to your heart today, why don't you make business with God? You can come down front. I don't know how you do things here at Mission Point. You can bow in your seat. You can stand up. Whatever you need to do to say, God, I surrender. I'm willing to do whatever you've called me to do. I want to be obedient to your word today.